This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks so much for joining us today. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Joy Powers. All this week, WUWM has been airing a series on human trafficking. Human trafficking is happening in Milwaukee and in all 72 counties in Wisconsin, and it's affecting children as well as adults. Currently, there are efforts in the state legislature to pass a safe harbor law that will stop the prosecution of children for prostitution.
Dana Worrell-Patterson is chair of Milwaukee's Human Trafficking Task Force, and she's the founder and CEO of Foundations for Freedom, an organization that seeks to eradicate human trafficking. She spoke before a legislative committee on children and families about the proposed legislation last month.
Raising awareness and activism to truly eradicate human trafficking has been no small feat. 11 years ago in Milwaukee and our state, human trafficking was not a household term. You could basically hear crickets. We all understood the term prostitution, but splitting the hair to include force, fraud, or coercion was not known. The Human Trafficking Task Force of Greater Milwaukee was formed. The narrative throughout reiterated human trafficking was an inner city, black girl, no father, poverty-driven problem. But it was also said that this was a $32 billion, now $150 billion industry. The two narratives were not congruent. We continue to learn. And narratives grew as we understood 13 to be the average age girls were trafficked domestically, 50% of those trafficked being children, human trafficking occurring across all 72 counties, and that child victims were being treated as criminals. 7 years is also the average lifespan. If minors of sex trafficking are not treated with the best care the first time, they can also experience being raped on average 6,000 times, 6,000 appetites, 6,000 odors, and a lifetime of trauma. Please vote yes to AB 41, becoming law. It's time.
WUWM's Mayon Silver spoke with Worrell-Patterson about her efforts to pass the legislation and why it's important.
Children cannot consent to having sex. So we know that through human trafficking, an individual is lured through force, fraud, or coercion. But because a child is a minor and cannot consent to having sex, it's a misnomer to call that prostitution, even though that is the act. That's the commercial sex act.
So what's happening to kids when they are being trafficked and they got caught by the criminal justice system right now? Like, are some of them facing charges?
Correct. They're treated as criminals. They're treated as criminals, not victims of the game of or this life that they of human trafficking. So the beauty is that the state is galvanizing around creating law to say that a minor is a child and a child cannot consent to having sex, even though we know that some do operate outside of that, outside of the law, but it is the law that you cannot consent to having sex. So we want to protect our children. 13 is the average age that girls are human trafficked domestically. That's a problem, that there's an appetite for a child around the age of 13, and we know that it's even younger than that. There's a major problem. So to treat the child as the criminal and not the person that's purchasing the sex as a criminal, even going further to get the trafficker, the pimp, we really have to turn things around so that we can be more effective. And really, as the African proverb says, Habari Gani, and how are the children? if we're treating children as criminals, there's something desperately wrong.
Well, and some of the unintended consequences of that are that children are then not trusting the criminal justice system. They're not coming forward with police. They're thinking, and in fact, maybe they may not speak up against their traffickers.
That's a major problem because Stockholm Syndrome does happen. And that means that there's a love and affection for your trafficker. So part of the game is that they're going to say, hey, you don't trust them. They're going to take you away. They're going to break up our happy home, you know? So, yes, there are a lot of tricks that are being said to manipulate a 13-year-old mind. You know, when you're 13, there's a lot going on. There's a lot bouncing around in the mind, and vulnerability is definitely lingering.
What are some of the things that make kids vulnerable to trafficking, kids and adults?
It comes in many, many shapes, sizes, mindsets. When we started 11 years ago, the narrative was that this was an inner city, black girl, no father, poverty. I added eating flour and water, like the low of the low. So those vulnerabilities. But then as we began to beat the drum, Martha Love and I saying, not in our community, not in yours. One day we were in the room with Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen, and he said that human trafficking is occurring in all 72 counties. Well, that was a very important aha moment, because at $32 billion, that's what they were saying that the industry was at the time, now $150 billion, we knew that that narrative did not equate to the amount of money that was being garnered throughout the world. So it's important. And then now, so those that were in other zip codes saying, excuse me, do you know my zip code? Of course this isn't happening in my backyard, began to pay attention that this could be happening all over. So the vulnerabilities are individuals feeling as if they are invisible in their own home. There may be the lack of love. So maybe it's dad is working long hours, a lot of time in their room. It goes on and on where vulnerabilities lie, but definitely a need for affection, a need to be loved, need to be seen, heard. Just wanting someone to pay attention to them, I see the most. And one trafficker said that he looks for individuals that have been already touched inappropriate, that they've already been molested, already experienced incest by someone that should be caring for them, their father, their grandfather, their uncle, that male figure that has violated them. They look for that type of person. And the unfortunate part about that narrative, when I go into the schools across the city and within our county, is that many of the girls have been touched inappropriate, from the wealthiest zip codes to our urban girls. Many of them have been touched. So it's a great recipe for someone looking for an individual that way, like that.
Well, and what does this legislation aim to do? What would change for youth, for young people, if they got caught up into that trafficking scenario?
That they would go to a safe place, not to a prison facility, you know, not to a detention, but they're going to go to a place where someone will care for them, that where they will experience true love and affection, where they'll have their needs met. So I'm very, very excited. It's a long time coming for the Safe Harbor Act to become law in our state, but it's necessary. And it's double-edged, because many individuals who are a part of law enforcement would say, we need that opportunity of rescue to bring them in where they may be able to connect to a larger picture where we will be able to bring in traffickers. So it's not so much that we're treating them as a criminal, but the opportunity to just bring them in and put them in a system where we can then continue to connect the dots. But I would lean more towards taking them to a safe place so that they don't feel as if they've done something wrong. It's not shame on them. It's shame on the trafficker. It's shame on the person that is buying sex from a minor. Shame on them, not shame on the child.
What other legislation have you had your eyes on or have been happening? Because this is affecting youth and adults. Are there any other movements in the legislature to try to make tougher laws or increase resources?
I'm very excited about legislators paying attention to the ills of human trafficking and those within our city paying attention. You know, a couple of weeks ago with the double murder of the child and the mom, the mayor spoke about human trafficking. The chief of police spoke about human trafficking. The director of the Office of Violence Prevention spoke about human trafficking. So the ability that has happened over the past 11 years of raising awareness that this falls under the force, fraud, and coercion is amazing. So now we have legislators that are paying attention in the same way. And I know that we're still looking to, well, one thing that has happened is that Johns, who are caught three times, there's a felony for them. That's a thumbs up, which is really, really great. I was hoping for two once they're caught twice. You can do a lot of damage within a county to be caught three times. But I'm saying twice, interstate, not inter-county.
Is that adult victims as well as children, or?
Yes, just caught soliciting. So that's phenomenal. But, you know, they had to start somewhere. It's not that stiff. I mean, I think anyone could move around that. But we're trusting that that's a starting point. And, I mean, They're rolling things out. And as we're continuing to pay attention, we're seeing more intersections. For instance, truckers, having laws for truckers. Everyone that learns how to drive a truck has to also experience this training around human trafficking. Think about all the eyes that are on the road, and when they go into the truck stops, they call them lot lizards. I hate that term, but these are usually minors that are roaming truck stops. So if you have individuals that have the knowledge of human trafficking and they want to do the right thing, now they're empowered. So we're looking forward to that passing. And we just have to continue to pay attention so that as intersections come, impacts arise, we can do something about it.
So you mentioned Milwaukee. There is a human trafficking task force now in Milwaukee. Can you talk about Milwaukee as a hub a little bit? Is it a hub? Why is it a hub?
When we started 11 years ago, those were some of the terms that we heard, that Milwaukee was a hub for human trafficking and that Wisconsin was a hub for human trafficking and Milwaukee was the Harvard of pimp school. And so I've had the opportunity to talk to hustlers or pimps around that scenario, like how did Milwaukee become the Harvard of pimp school? Well, we know we have the intersection running through our city. And it's my understanding that, as he said, back in the day, Milwaukee was thriving. You know, people were buying homes and it was a nice, clean, mid-sized city. Beer was happening. All kind of things were happening here. The underground world was really thriving. And I've also learned that that was true talking to law enforcement as time went on, that was a season back in the 80s where drugs were very prevalent and individuals would come here to learn. He said that he would call other people and say, hey, come to Milwaukee because this is the land of milk and honey. So as you would consider people coming from the south, north, east, and west to Milwaukee, where it's unassuming. There was a time where you wanted to live in Milwaukee. It was a clean town. Everyone was working. The factories were thriving. You know, you didn't have to necessarily go to school to make good money. All kind of good things were happening. But there was this underground world. And when you consider human trafficking, it is indeed, it's an underground system. It's hidden in plain sight. So they just took advantage of our city. And that's the way things go. It is built around vulnerability. So our city was vulnerable. People weren't paying attention. And or those that were looked the other way, or the women who are the low-hanging fruit usually are the ones that go to jail, not the pimps, not the traffickers. So that's just the way it is. But we're working every day to change that. There's wind beneath my wings, those who come to the Human Trafficking Task Force meetings. We're galvanizing to end human trafficking.
Well, Dana World Patterson, thank you so much for speaking about this important topic.
Thank you.
Dana World Patterson is the chair of Milwaukee's Human Trafficking Task Force. She's the founder and CEO of Foundations for Freedom, a local organization that seeks to eradicate human trafficking. She spoke with WUWM's Mayon Silver, and you can hear our entire series on trafficking at WUWM.com.